Right now, let's bring in Mike Causey, and we'll check sports. And the Mets' lead is now down to a half a game over the Philadelphia Phillies.
Well, it's technically gone.
Yeah.
The Phillies played one more game than the Mets, so when the Mets play up that one extra game and lose it, they'd be flat-footed tie, because the Mets will lose that game.
It's amazing what a month can mean in baseball, and especially injuries and things like that.
Well, it's not injuries. It's self-infliction. The Mets got rid of this guy named Familia a couple years ago. They traded him to Oakland at the end of the season. And then they went out and did the worst thing they can possibly do. They got him back. Now, Familia, if you don't know, is a relief pitcher. And the object of a relief pitcher is to keep the game in the status quo position. Don't let the other team score. You only have to pitch one inning. So in the illustrious career of this guy, he's pitched 476 innings. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, as a relief pitcher, you should be putting on less than one runner an inning. Because if you put a guy on, you're in trouble. Yeah. Familia, in 476 innings pitched, has 222 walks and given up 404 hits.
Wow.
That's 626 guys that got on via hit or walk. That's almost 1.5 batters an inning he's putting on base. That's a recipe for destruction. And that's what happened to the Mets yesterday. He pitched to five guys. He got one out, gave up three hits, a walk, and three runs. Game over. Mets lose 4-2.
Pretty amazing.
Why is this guy in baseball? He should have that pink slip hanging in his locker room called the unconditional release. He should be gone. Out of baseball. The Mets, there's one way the Mets can improve themselves. That's get rid of Familia. If you don't have him, he can't hurt you.
That's a name that comes back, and you think about it, it bites you in the rear end every time. But
oh, my God. 626 guys he put on base in 476 innings. If I did something like that when I was pitching, I wouldn't show up anymore. I'd take myself out of the mix. That's terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Yeah,
so that's a recipe for disaster. The Mets are done. DeGrom, like I said at the beginning of the week, he's never going to pitch again this year. They have no pitchers. They traded away better pitchers than they kept. The inmates are running the asylum in Queens. The Mets are a nonentity. And the only thing that's been helping them all year is that the rest of the division's been terrible. But now Atlanta and Philadelphia are over 500. So it's just a matter of time till the Mets are in the rearview mirror for both teams.
And what's the matter with the Red Sox? They're 3-7 in the last 10 games.
They're slumping. Yeah. I mean, they've played good teams. They played Tampa Bay, who beat them up. They played Toronto, who beat them up. The only team that Boston can beat is the Yankees lately. And, you know, Tampa Bay has a game and a half lead now, and Toronto's within six. The Yankees are with 5.5. There's a couple of key guys in the lineup that aren't producing. Boston's not going to win a lot of games on pitching. They're going to win most of their games by out-slugging teams, and they're not doing that right now. So, like I said the other day, they have to wake up out of this funk before they fall too far behind, because these other teams are playing a lot better baseball, and you're running toward the end of the season here. Boston's played 110 games, so they only have 52 left. So you don't want to fall like 4 or 5 games behind, because with about 50 games left in the season, that becomes real hard to make up when the other teams are playing good.
And the Yankees and Toronto each have 2 games on them. They've played the 2 less games than Boston.
Yeah.
As well.
So it's Boston has to straighten themselves out. Their run differential is down to a plus 42. It was up near 100, and right now it's down to 42, so they're not scoring runs.
All right, not many people around here are talking about the White Sox, but I think it's been pretty impressive for the way the White Sox are playing this year.
Yeah, except last night they got beat by Kansas City, but absolutely. They're 63-46. They were good last year, too, and then they fell apart at the end of the year. Their run production went away. But they're playing good this year. But if you look at the White Sox, they're 18 games over 500 at home. They're under 500 on the road.
Now, Tony La Russa is their coach, right?
He's their manager, yeah.
He's their manager.
He's an old-school guy.
Yeah. No doubt about it. All right, and of course, Houston has a 4-game lead out in the West over Oakland. Well, we'll see what happens. Anyways,
Oakland's playing good baseball.
Yeah,
Oakland's playing good, but Houston's playing better. And I for one, am pulling for Houston to win the World Series this year, just so all the ignorant fans in the Bronx and in Los Angeles and elsewhere can, you know, eat some crow.
Like I said, I didn't mind when it was first announced, people feeling outraged, but we're 2 years past this now. Just let's go on, you know?
Yeah, I don't see anybody still mad at Britain because we're under their rule.
Just go on. It's just, you know, it's a new year. It's 2 years later. You've been through a pandemic. Just go on. And you know what? When a team's playing good baseball, enjoy it because there's not much good baseball out there.
No, there's not a lot. And they're getting good hitting. They're getting good pitching. And Dusty Baker, I think, is, what, 72, 73 years old?
Yeah.
He's their manager. So it's funny when you look at it now because you have La Russa in Chicago and you have Dusty Baker in Houston, and they're the two winningest managers in baseball right now. And I think if you add their age up, it comes close to 150.
All right. Well, do we have racing this weekend?
Yeah, we got racing. Yesterday, our 5-7. Interesting race. The four horse in that race had a big, big lead in the stretch and then ran into the rail, dropped the jockey. The seven horse had to avoid the jockey, and the five horse won. So the seven, by avoiding the jockey, which horses do naturally, people don't know that, that inhibited his run in the stretch and didn't even hold on for second, and the five horse won the race. So half of our horses ran good yesterday, and in the freak thing, we wound up losing the exacta, but that's horse racing. Today, we're going to go to the fourth race for the pick of the day. It's a 6.5 furlong race on the dirt. We're going to go with the four-horse Answer In. This horse won two out of his last three races on the dirt, sprinting at Keeneland and Churchill Downs. The horse is coming from Kentucky, have been running very well this year at Saratoga. And I expect Answer In to add to that today. He's coming off a nice work on July 20th, four furlongs in 47-4. So the four horse in the fourth race is the pick of the day today, Answer In. For the weekend, some big stakes up at Saratoga this weekend being Whitney weekend. A couple we're going to look at. One's going to be the eighth race tomorrow, the 7-furlong test. This is a grade one for three-year-olds, three-year-old fillies. Two horses I'm looking at in here. One is the five-horse, Always Karina, trained by the Antichrist, known as Chad Brown. This horse has two good works coming into this race. Flavian Pratt gets the mount. Flavian rode this horse last time to a second-place finish without Lasix. With Lasix, this horse has won two races by 13 lengths. No Lasix again tomorrow. So I think the best this horse is going to do, Always Karina, is going to be second again. My top pick is going to be the same horse that beat her last time. That's the three-horse Zagel. How a horse can be 8-1 and beat the morning line favorite in the race, it's beyond me. But Zagel is an 8-1 morning line horse. This horse won the Mother Goose, beating Always Karina in that race. This horse has won every race that it's run at one turn, which is three of them, at 2 at 7 furlongs, 1 at 1 mile and 1/16 at Belmont. I don't know why this horse won't win again tomorrow. So my top pick's going to be the 3, Zagel, and the 5, Always Karina, to round out an exacta. The next race is the 9th race. It's the Grade 1 Saratoga Derby Invitational. I don't know what this race used to be called, but it used to be called something else, obviously. It's a $1 million Grade 1 race, a mile and 3/16 on the outer turf. Two horses I'm looking at in here. One is an overseas shipper, Bolshoi Ballet. This horse shipped in for the Belmont Derby in the middle of July, trained by Aidan O'Brien. Won very handily at even money. Moore is back. That's this horse's rider overseas. This horse is back again to ride tomorrow. 2-1 short price, but this horse is a must-use. Horse you can use to try to make a nice exacta to build up that 2-1 price. That's going to be the two-horse, Du Jour, trained by Billy Mott. Coming off a layoff of since May, this horse ran fourth in the same race, the Belmont Derby. Had some problems, three wide, made a move at the eighth pole, kind of got shut down again a little bit. Rosario, who's been riding very, very well this week, gets the mount. Pratt gets the boot from this horse, which I'm really surprised because he rides well. But right now, Rosario's been riding a little bit better, so at 8-1, Du Jour is going to definitely be included in my exacta. So The ninth race tomorrow, the Saratoga Derby, Bolshoi Ballet should repeat the performance from the Belmont Derby and win. And I like the two, DeJour, to make up an exacta there. So 2-6, 6-2 in the ninth race. So I'm giving you a pick three to play as well as these other races, because the next race I'm going to do is the 10th. It's the Whitney. A very short field, only five horses, going a mile and an eighth on the main track. The grade one Whitney is a very prestigious race. You got the filly in here, Swiss Skydiver, who had a real big season last year, winning a bunch of big races. Getting beat in the Breeders' Cup Distaff, wasn't going to beat Monomoy Girl no matter what. Came out off the shelf this year to win the Beholder out at Santa Anita, beating seven horses. Came back in the Apple Blossom, was a little short that day. Training pretty good for Kenny McPeak. I think this horse gets second tomorrow. Nick's Go is the morning line favorite. I have no idea why this horse is favored. Absolutely none. The two races that this horse ran without laces are absolute bummers. People are saying it was a one turn, it was this. They're making up all kinds of excuses. Nothing against the horse, but people make up excuses for races, and it's as plain as the nose on your face. This horse needs Lasix. Doesn't run with it, doesn't run well. Nick's Go is an absolute toss. I think you're going to see a real stunning performance tomorrow out of the five Maxfield. Maxfield went out to California. It was the only race that this horse lost ever. Never mind with the comebacks and breaks that this horse has had. It's the only race this horse has lost ever. And they don't talk of this horse like he's a superstar. He is a superstar. He's going to show it when he wins the Whitney tomorrow. 8-5 morning line. If you guys can get 8-5 on Maxfield, go to the window and tell them to punch the tickets until the machine shuts down. Maxfield's not going to lose the Whitney. Maxfield on top with the three Swiss Skydiver for second. And you could throw another horse who's been running very well lately with six wins in a row, the two-horse Silver State for Steve Asmussen, who's been winning at a big clip this summer up at Saratoga. Toss the favorite, Nick's Go. Go with Maxfield on top, the three Swiss Skydiver, and the two Silver State underneath. So those are some pretty big races tomorrow up at Saratoga. Three races, three grade ones.
All right. We'll check with you Monday, see how we do.
We'll win.
All right. Have a great weekend, Mike.
You too, guys. Have a great weekend.
Take care. Mike Cossey with a check on sports this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio.